Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
We have said already that every kingdom and every nation has got armies. Every nation has got the armed forces, some in charge of the land, the sea, and then the air. We have said that God's kingdom or God's nation has got two armed forces, the visible and the invisible. Now, these armed forces are in charge of the expansion of the two realms of God's kingdom, the physical realm and the spiritual realm, if you like, the visible realm and the invisible realm, or the earthly realm and the heavenly realm. So we have also said that the kingdom of God is God's rule, God's order, and God's realm. It is to be in two realms. God's rule is supposed to be in two realms, the visible and the invisible. We have said that the visible army, the visible armed forces comprise all saints. The invisible ones comprise of the angels. We have also said that nobody is born a soldier in the natural. No matter how great you are, even as a military person right now, you were not born a soldier. You were trained to become one. In a similar manner, nobody is born again as a citizen of God's kingdom. Or rather, you are born again as a citizen of God's kingdom, but you should be trained to be in the kingdom army. Being in the armed forces of the kingdom is a higher calling to put the kingdom of God first above yourself, above your comfort, ambitions, and agenda. A soldier is one who has been sold out for a noble cause of kingdom expansion. So your concern is taking external spiritual mental territories from illegal occupants and squatters. There are illegal occupants and squatters in this world, and our work as the armies of God is to fight a spiritual and mental battle to take over the territories from these demonic occupants. In that way, we enforce the already won victory of Jesus Christ over the kingdom of darkness. We have also said that being a soldier in the royal army of the kingdom is not about prosperity. Prosperity is available to civilians as well. In civilian Christianity, you enjoy God's provision, God's prosperity. And it is not to say that in becoming a soldier of the kingdom, you will not be prosperous. Because when you put the kingdom first, as a soldier puts the nation first, all other things shall be added unto you. There is no kingdom or nation on this earth that does not provide for its army. Now, a soldier is a citizen who lives by a higher code of ethics than the civilian. So, to be a soldier is to adopt what I have given you at 10 military codes of ethics, 10 principles and 10 laws to move you from civilian Christianity to a militarized one. So we have started looking at these codes of conduct, these laws that transforms one from an ordinary civilian Christian to a member of the armed forces of the kingdom. Now, the first law we looked at last week, Thursday, is a law of uniformity. We said two things about the law of uniformity. Number one, we said that we should dress in our military uniform or our armor, Ephesians chapter 6. We said that there is power in the uniform. the armed forces must be armed in an armor. So, dressing makes you strong in the Lord. That is one thing that we said. So, it is important for every person who wants to be in the royal army of the kingdom to put on the dress code of the armed forces of God's kingdom. Now, the second thing we said about the law of uniformity is to accept to do things together. We must accept to do things uniformly with the rest of the armies of the kingdom. We said that there is much strength and power in uniformity. Now, the second code of ethics that we need to understand, imbibe, and live our lives by is what I described as the law of hardness. The law of hardness. We said that this is more of mental toughness than physical toughness, because we are in a spiritual mental war. We are not warring with flesh and blood. It is not a physical battle. So the hardness is more of a mental hardness or toughness than a physical one. We said two things about the law of hardness. We talked about adaptability. And we said that you not have perfect situations, perfect superiors, perfect subordinates, perfect seasons to operate in. Okay? There is nothing like a perfect situation for a soldier. You may have situations which are not very good, but you still need to operate and deliver the goods in the midst of the imperfect or unfortunate circumstance. You are also likely to have imperfect superiors, okay? Superiors, leaders who are going to shock you, misunderstand you, misjudge you. You can have subordinates who also disappoint you. They will fail you. You will have seasons which are not favorable, seasons which are not comfortable, but a soldier must be adaptable. He must be able to live in all of these imperfections and be able to deliver the goods. So we must learn to adapt to all of these situations and deliver all the same. We need to live before God and not before the imperfect people, imperfect economy. So we must learn to adapt to this world. This is what we have. We do not have heaven. We have this world. And we need to adapt to heaven. We need to adapt to Africa. We need to adapt to the church. We need to adapt to Ghana and to deliver the goods all the same. The life of excuse and complaining is over for the military Christian. A civilian can complain, but a military person has got high allegiance and needs to stop complaining about the world to fly to heaven. You need to stop complaining about Africa to fly to the United States. You need to stop complaining about the church. I don't know where you'll fly to, but you need to stop complaining about people and deliver all the same, because our strength is always made perfect in imperfect circumstances or seasons. Now, the second thing we said about the law of hardness is on the need for us to have constancy. We said that we should let our hardness endure. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So we said that we should endure hardness. It means that we should be constant like a rock. Okay? We should be like a rock, ever hard, uncrackable, unbreakable. We said that we must use the key of the kingdom like Peter was given to help you to be rock constant and not be reed tossed like Simon. God's solution to Peter to move him from civilian instability to
military constancy was the key of the kingdom. Said, I will make you hard like a rock. You need to move from inconsistency to a rock, to Peter, to a place of constancy, and use the key of the kingdom to help you to be stable. Civilians are unstable, but the military must be constant and must be stable. We say that stability brings about excellence. Constancy brings about excellence. Now, today we want to look at the law of non-entanglement and look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and then verse 4. This is the third code of ethics that we want to learn, imbibe, live our lives by, in order for us to transition from ordinary citizens born into the kingdom of God to people who are trained and useful in the armies of the living God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and then verse 4. What does it say? It says that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. And please underline entangleth himself and then the affairs of this life. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him. What is the aim? That he may please him who has called him to be a soldier. Hallelujah. Now, the law of non-entanglement is something that we need to live our lives by. I need to make us to understand that it is not a non-involvement law. It is not a non-involvement in the affairs of this life, but a non-entanglement. There is a difference. You can be involved without being entangled. And that is really how God wants us to be. We should be involved in the affairs of this life without being entangled in it. Jesus Christ was involved in the world. The Bible makes us to know that he took our identity. He took upon himself the form of flesh and blood. Hebrews chapter 2. It behoved him in all things that he be made like unto his brethren. In other words, Jesus Christ was involved in the affairs of this life. I believe that if there was anybody who should complain about this world, it should be Jesus. But when he came on this earth, he was rather unashamed of being in this world. He was unashamed of having the nature of mankind. He took on our nature. He took on our form. He took on our identity. The Bible says that he identified with us. He called us his brothers or his brethren. This is all in the book of Hebrews chapter 2. He could have taken on the nature of an angel and vanished and come back and stuff like that. He could have taken on the nature of an angel. But the Bible says that he refused it and he took on the nature of fallen mankind. Hallelujah. He was not ashamed of this world. I don't know whether you are ashamed of this world. You should not be ashamed of the place that God has put you in. Because he has an intention, he has a purpose for putting you in this world. It was not a mistake that you were born into a place like this world. Jesus Christ was not ashamed of Peter. He was not ashamed of Judas, although he was a thief. He was not ashamed of Nathanael, who had a bad psychology. He was not ashamed of Thomas. He was not ashamed of his people. He had a whole bunch of people, different characters, but he worked with them. They doubted him, but he was never ashamed of them. He was not ashamed of the backsliding Jews. He identified with the Jews. He was not ashamed of prophet killers. He described the Jews as people who were always killing the prophets. But he was not ashamed of them. He called himself the Son of Man. Everybody calls him the Son of God, but he put that title upon himself. He said, I am the Son of Man. He identified with us. He was not ashamed of the people who were God resistors. Are you ashamed of God resistors? Are you ashamed even from our nature? He had a heavenly nature, yet he was not ashamed.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Are you ashamed to be in the world? Are you ashamed to be an African? Are you ashamed to be involved with Ghana? Are you ashamed to be an Ewe? Are you ashamed to be a Fanti? Are you ashamed of our pastors? Are you ashamed of our people? Are you ashamed of our politicians? Are you ashamed of the leaders of Africa? You cannot be ashamed. Because Jesus was not ashamed. If you are ashamed, you cannot identify. You will rather detach yourself. If you do not identify, you cannot be involved. It is only through identification that you can be involved in the affairs of this life. If you are not involved, you cannot help. That is why he came around, he identified, he was not ashamed, and then he got involved in the affairs of this life. Because he wanted to be useful to God. He wanted to be of help unto God Almighty. You need to identify to be of help. Can I have an amen? Now look at the book of Matthew chapter 13, let's turn very quickly. I thought we could do more than one law. I hope we can do that. But let's look at Matthew chapter 13 and then verse 37 to 38. What does the Bible say? Matthew 37 says that he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. He's talking about himself. The Son of Man, identify with man. The field is the world, and I want you to know that the field is not the church. The field is the world. The good seeds are children of the kingdom. Where were the good seeds planted? In the world. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The sons of the kingdom are sown in the world, not in the church. The careers of the kingdom should be in the world, but the world should not be in them. The world should not entangle them. They should be among the people, but not entangled with the people. God wants us as people who are good soldiers to operate the law of non-entanglement with the affairs of this world. So although we are planted in the world and God wants us to be involved in the world, he does not want us to be entangled with their affairs. Ask yourself, am I entangled with the affairs of this world? We shall not be entangled with the system of this world, with the value system of the world, with the expectations of the world, with the fears of the world. The Bible says that do not be afraid with their fears. Jesus Christ was involved in the world without letting the world entangle him. He said that the prince who is in charge of this world is coming, but he has got nothing in me. It is like a ship in water. That is how God wants us to be. Ship in water. He placed us in the water. We must abide in the water, in the world, but no water must enter the ship. The world's affairs must not get into you. You need to disengage. Hallelujah. Now, involvement brings about entanglement. It's something you must know and you must bear in mind. That involvement in something, the next stage after you are involved in something, is that the thing will try to entangle you. But God says that although you are involved in the waters, you are involved in the world, we should refuse to be entangled. Can you say, I refuse to be entangled? Let's say it again, I refuse to be entangled. Alright. To be entangled means to be trapped. It means to be trapped. When we say something has entangled a person, one of the imagery that is very sharp is where you have an insect that has been entangled in a spider's web. There is a complicated network of the world system that is not simple at all. And these are things that we will be faced with as sons of the kingdom planted in the field called the world. There is a complicated machination, organization of the devil to entangle the church, to entangle the citizens of God's kingdom. Now we must refuse to be trapped. You must refuse to be entangled. So to be entangled means to be trapped in such a way that you cannot be free and you cannot be available for any other thing. Hallelujah. Than for an agenda that has been set up in the world to engage you in such a manner that you are completely ruled and entangled in that thing. You cannot free yourself. I refuse to be entangled in this world that I can please him who has called me to be a soldier in his army. It's a privilege. Hallelujah. Now, the motto of the 2BN is anywhere, anytime. Anywhere, anytime. That is the motto of those battalion. Okay? The 2BN, anywhere, anytime. Why do they say that I am available anywhere, anytime? I am free anywhere, anytime.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.